And every year around this time, we take a moment to annoy people who can't stand change, especially change to the English language. The American Heritage Dictionaries is out with its list of new words for 2017. We'll put it up at hereandnow.org. Steve Kleinedler is with us now in the studio. He's the dictionary's executive editor. He's got a stack of new words with him. Steve, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So should we call you a wordsmith?
Well, you can call me a wordsmith.
Okay, well, Mr. Wordsmith, how about this one? Orthorexia.
Orthorexia. That is one of the many words that we added this year, and it refers to excessive preoccupation with one's dietary choices, especially with regard to the purity or healthfulness of the food one eats. As you know, we like to talk about food words every year, and this ties into that, especially with the rise of Internet sites that are geared towards this kind of thing, as well as all of the food channels. People are very conscious about what they eat. And if you kind of overdo it, you might have orthorexia.
Well, I thought that's exactly why I thought it would be an appropriate word to start with today, a day when many of us may not know that word, but we're certainly feeling it.
At first, it was almost extremely jocular, you know, on modeled afterwards like anorexia. But it's actually being used in serious discourse now. It started off kind of as a joke word, but now it's something that is used seriously to discuss this phenomenon.
We're going to get deeper in this list, but
awesome.
First, let's talk about why you do this every year. Because whether you like it or not, mm-hmm. Languages change.
Absolutely, language is changing, and there are a lot of companies that put out their word of the year, which ends up being, it's subjective. There's a lot of possibilities, and I think it's a richer discussion to talk about all the material that has been added, because we're not only adding new words and senses. This is all part of a holistic overview where we're also reviewing and revising existing material. And so these tie into like the areas that we're looking at. And, you know, if we're looking at new psychology terms or biopharmaceutical terms or whatever, we balance that with some of these words that come in into the pop culture mainstream.
Well, how about this one related to that? Burner.
Yes.
Which, you know, a lot of people will see this list and they'll say, well, I've been hearing the word burner for years, ever since The Wire came out on HBO. We've been hearing about that word.
Right. Sometimes there's a lag time before a word starts being used casually and before it's entered into a dictionary. Part of that is there's just a lot of material out of there, a lot of stuff coming into usage. But also before we enter a word, we want to make sure it's got staying power, that it's going to stick around for a while, that it's not some fad that comes and goes. So a burner is an inexpensive cell phone, especially one for which usage is paid in advance and which can be thrown away easily if necessary. It's now used even beyond, you know, your spy thrillers, your sci-fi books, that kind of thing. And it's got enough provenance that it's worth putting in, and we did.
Well, some of the words are not necessarily new. We've been using them for a long time, but they take on new meaning. I'm looking at this one here, unicorn.
Yes, unicorn, which has two new senses, one of which is the one people are less interested in. That's a startup company valued at $1 billion or more.
Right.
The more commonly new sense is something that is greatly desired but difficult or impossible to find.
Hmm. So use unicorn in a sentence.
Right. As part of our program, we try to use exact quotations where possible, and we have one here. Is anti-gravity the unicorn of physics, or do we simply lack the strategy and bait to catch it with an experimental snare, which was written by a science editor named Jerome Groopman.
Okay, wow. So, that is a sentence I never would have written, but that's somebody did, right?
Someone
there.
Did, yeah. So anti-gravity can be seen as a unicorn in that regard.
What about this one? Snowflake. Now, that is a word that is kind of controversial, and it's caught on in American politics.
Yes, snowflake, or a special snowflake. Obviously, the word snowflake is an old English word. It's been around for quite a while. The newer sense that's come into meaning, and it's defined neutrally, so you can use it in a variety of contexts, but a snowflake would be a person who is considered to be overly sensitive or too easily offended, especially as a result of believing himself or herself to be unique or special.
Now, we have done a lot of reporting on politics on this program over the many years. And when we're on the road talking to people, this word will actually come up. The right and I would say probably the far right, will use this phrase to insult liberals, and it can be very insulting to some people.
Yes, it is a word that not only is the far right using of liberals, but even middle of the road people using for people further right than they are, people on the left using for people who are further left, and then conversely throwing it back into the face of the far right. I think the preponderance of evidence would be that of the far right using it to describe liberals, but you'll see it in a variety of contexts, and that's one of the reasons why it's defined neutrally.
What do you think is happening in the language when that word takes on such a life of its own?
I think it takes on a life of its own because it's such an interesting metaphor. A snowflake, a special snowflake, is someone or something that melts under pressure. I think part of what's driving it is the vivid metaphor behind it. And, you know, on the surface, it's not a swear word. It's not a slur. You know, it's meant to dig underneath the skin and hurt and twist the knife and that sort of thing. So I think it's a word that people use in a manipulative way often, and they can get away with it because it's a relatively benign term.
Well, also related to politics is the word self-care.
Self-care has actually been around for a little longer than just a year, but it's certainly got an uptick after the election last year, and people were getting burned out on news stories and just the reality of situation as it started to sink in. People who are, you know, addicted to social media and on all hours of the day and in kind of this feedback loop and, you know, causing a lot of angst and stress. And people are encouraged in that environment to make sure that they indulge in or partake of self-care, which is the act of engaging in activities or behaviors that help one achieve or maintain good physical or mental health, especially to mitigate the effects of stress or trauma.
Now, do you know this word is making its way into the zeitgeist because people are searching for it online?
Well, they're not only searching for it online, but they're also using it so that when we are looking at not just raw Google searches or Twitter searches, that kind of thing, but its use in newspaper articles online, in journals, that kind of thing. It is definitely part of the zeitgeist, not just because people are looking it up, but also because editors and writers are actually using it in their editing and writing.
Upcycle.
Yes. So that is to recycle, you know, something that's broken, something that's worn out, that kind of thing, by repurposing it to create a useful or aesthetically pleasing new product. For example, using vibrant paint, I upcycled the wine bottle into a vase. We just recently added that. It'll be online in our online dictionary in January. We've gone from recycling to upcycling, you know, just the whole reuse aspect of that.
Do you think it will become as common as its cousin recycle?
If things get really Hunger Games and apocalyptic, we'll have no choice, right? You know, reusing what we've got. I think recycling will probably remain the more predominant term simply because it's so ubiquitous and it's something that is just entrenched in the systems, the municipal systems across the country. Upcycling is probably more of a fringe at the moment Etsy craft project type of activity.
Now, in addition to the new words, you also have a usage panel. And that looks at the way that words are used in everyday life. And also, some of this is fascinating, changes in pronunciations. And it looks like you had a couple of them this year. So let's start with, I'm going to just spell this word, okay, because I don't want to say it for you. S-T-A-T-U-S.
Ah, yes. You'll undoubtedly hear it pronounced both status and status.
I will never say it as status, okay, by the way.
Yes. And you'd be in the majority now, too. We've surveyed this several times over the past several decades. And in our 2016 survey, 85% of the American Heritage Dictionary usage panel preferred the pronunciation status, and 15% preferred status, although both forms were considered acceptable by large margins. This is a noticeable shift from our 1997 survey, which was the first time the panelists by a narrow margin preferred status over status. The pronunciation status is the older pronunciation, and it remains the one most common in British English.
Okay, so you're still allowed to say status. It
Yes.
is preferred if you say status, or it's more common to say status.
It's more common, yeah. Yes.
Also, internet no longer must be capitalized.
No longer must be capitalized. Like the AP and several other outlets, the move has been towards lowercasing internet. And now for the first time, we as well have a lowercased internet, not only online, but in the next printing of the print dictionary, the internets are going to be lowercased.
Okay. Well, from a guy who spends a lot of time copy editing, thank you for that one. We've been speaking with Steve Kleinedler, a guy you do not want to go head-to-head in a game of Scrabble with. He's the executive editor of American Heritage Dictionaries, talking about the new words that came into the lexicon in 2017. Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, Siri.
Hi there, Peter.
Define snowflake.
A flake of snow, especially a feathery ice crystal, typically displaying delicate six-fold symmetry.
Define burner.
A person or thing that burns. Do you want to hear the next one?
Yes, yes.
Short for CD burner. Want to hear the next one?
Okay.
An inexpensive mobile phone for whose telecommunication services one pays in advance, used typically for the sake of anonymity since no personal details are required by the service provider.
Yes, that was it!
Your last one?
No, you got it. You're good.
Done.
Siri, repeat after me. This is Here and Now.
I don't think I like this game.